If you would stand, am I on? If you would stand, we're going to read Matthew 18, starting in verse 21 to the end of the chapter. Matthew 18, starting in verse 21. It says this, Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times? Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents. But as he was not able to pay, his master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made. The servant therefore fell down before him, saying, Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all. Then the master of his servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave him the debt. But that servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, Pay me what you owe. So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, Have patience with me, and I will pay you all. And he would not, and went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. So when his fellow servants saw that what he had done, they were grieved, very grieved, and came and told their masters all that had been done. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, You wicked servant, I forgave you all the debt because you begged me. Should you not have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity on you? And his master was angry and delivered him to the torturers until he could pay all that was due to him. So my heavenly Father also will do to you if each of you from his heart does not forgive his brother his trespasses. May God bless the reading of his word. You may be seated. This story comes immediately after the passage about dealing with people's sin against you. It is more than a process. It is also an illustration to answer Peter's question. What was his question? In verse 21, it says, Then Peter came to him and said, Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Up to seven times. So Peter was asking, how many times should he forgive someone that sins against him? That was Peter's question. Why did Peter think of that question? Because that is the main point of Jesus' process, forgiveness. That is the main point of Jesus' process, forgiveness. The goal of dealing with a fellow person's sin against you is for their repentance, for restoration to happen between them, and extend forgiveness. In fact, Peter figured it out, and he asked Jesus again his question, How often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Peter responded and said seven times, thinking that was an extreme number of times to forgive another that sinned against you. But Jesus responded, look at Jesus' response. Jesus said to him, I do not say to you up to seven times, but up to 70 times seven. Jesus responded 70 times seven. That number was astronomical and would blow everyone's socks off. Peter thought he was doing good by saying seven times because that was amazing, especially in that day. Jesus responded with this astronomical number, 70 times 7. Really an innumerable number. That was a hyperbole and an idiom for an immeasurable number. Jesus was blowing Peter's socks off and blowing everyone's socks off that heard that and read that. Jesus then illustrates how forgiveness should look. This passage is comparing two men, one who stacked up a ton of a debt. Look at verse 24. Starting in verse 23, it says, "Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. And when he had begun to settle accounts, one was brought to him who owed him 10,000 talents." Now, that number doesn't mean much today because we don't deal in talents. That is not our monetary system. We use dollars. So what does this mean? He stacked up a ton of debt, and one, in comparison, had very little debt at all. The one man owes the king an insanely large amount of money. I was trying to figure out what words I should use to describe it. That was a crazy large amount of money. One person commented that it would take 200,000 years of labor to pay it back. 200,000 years of labor to pay it back. A truly, immeasurably large amount that would take many, many, many lifetimes to pay back. Look at the beginning of verse 25. Starting again in verse 24, it said he owed him 10,000 talents. And look at this little phrase, "but he was not able to pay." And of course he wasn't. It would take 200,000 years, according to this one person, to be able to deal with and pay it back. That was not possible to pay it back. It was a truly immeasurably large amount that would take many lifetimes to pay back. In comparison, the second man owed a tiny amount. A single day's wages for a worker was a denarius. So it would take 100 days of labor to pay it back. Look at the beginning of verse 28. It said, "But the servant went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii." Typical daily worker would get 1 denarii per day. So if he added up, that would take 100 days. That's a fairly significant amount of debt. But in comparison to what the first man owed, it was teeny tiny. It was a pittance. It was pocket change in comparison. The point that Jesus is making is that it was payable. The first debt, the tremendous debt, the 10,000 talent debt, was not at all ever possibly payable. But 100 denarii debt, the second person, absolutely could pay it back. The first man recognized his debt. He knew he was in tremendous debt. He heard the penalty that the king required for non-payment. Again, verse 25. "But he was not able to pay. His master commanded that he be sold with his wife and children and all that he had, and that payment be made." They took debt very seriously back then. If you couldn't pay your debt, they would take the recourse on you and all of your family until it was paid back. He also asked the king for patience. Again, in verse 26, "So the servant therefore fell down before him, saying, 'Master, have patience with me, and I will pay you all.'" And I will pay you all. There was absolutely no way that he could pay it back. Why, oh why, did he say to the king that he would pay it back? He recognized the debt. The king had told him the penalty required of him for non-payment. And he asked the king for patience and said, "Please give me time to pay it back," knowing fully well that he could not pay it back. Why on earth did he think he could pay it back? But don't we all think we can pay it back? That we can do things to earn God's favor? That we can be good enough? that we can do enough good things to merit his favor? That we can go to church enough to make God happy? That we can follow the rules well and be good? I strayed a little bit. Back to the story. Amazingly, instead of punishment, this is amazing, he owed him a sizable debt. Wouldn't anybody want to get that debt repaid? Amazingly, instead of punishment, the king had compassion on him and forgave him all that he owed. The man did absolutely deserve punishment. He did not get a jail free card. He absolutely deserved the punishment. He owed the money. But the king released him anyway. You would expect this man to be overcome with gratitude toward the king and totally be willing to extend forgiveness to anyone else quickly and easily. He had just been forgiven a debt that there was absolutely no way that he could repay. He would die a debtor. His wife would die a debtor. His kids would die debtors. But it is shocking that no matter what, he was not a forgiving man. Instead, he was completely unmerciful to the second man who owed him a tiny amount in comparison to the astronomical amount of money that he owed the king. Look at verse 28. Then the servant went out after he had been forgiven of this tremendous and immeasurable debt. The king went out and found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. Again, 200,000 years of labor versus 100 days of labor. Look at how he responded. And he laid hands on him and took him by the throat, saying, "Pay me what you owe." So his fellow servant fell down at his feet and begged him, saying, "Have patience with me, and I will pay you all." He said the exact same thing that the first man said to the king. And he would not, but went and threw him into prison till he should pay the debt. He was not a forgiven man. He even added physical violence. He grabbed the fellow servant by the throat who owed him a teeny tiny amount of debt compared to what he owed the king. So what is the central point of this story? And why did it come after Matthew 18, the process of dealing with sin among people? The central point of this story is forgiveness. The first man's main fruit of repentance is to be quick to forgive others that wrong him. We are not the king, nor are we the second man who owed a little amount. We are the first man. Like his crushing debt that he could never repay, we have the same debt, sin, that we cannot possibly repay enough to God. We deserve God's wrath, his everlasting punishment for sin. As Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." We absolutely deserve eternal punishment. We absolutely deserve death for the crushing load of debt, sin that we owe against God, that we did against God. However, we don't have to end up like the first man. We don't have to end up bitter. We don't have to end up unforgiving. We don't have to end up unmerciful. We don't have to end up uncompassionate. We can accept God's forgiveness for our sin, our treason against him our King. He offers it as a gift, and as a result, we can forgive those who wrong us. This doesn't mean that people will not sin against you. This side of heaven, we will have all sorts of conflict. And sometimes we will be sinned against greatly. Sometimes restitution may be due. Sometimes consequences may need to happen. However, listen to this, church. However, this doesn't excuse bitterness and lack of forgiveness. Bitterness is a poison. Refusing to forgive is a poison. It takes hold in small ways. As Hebrew 12 calls it, a bitter root of unforgiveness. It festers and grows bigger and bigger till it consumes all of you and begins to affect those around you. It is a cancer and needs to be removed by Jesus Christ, or it will destroy your life. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was tortured. Jesus was killed with the most unimaginable, cruel method of killing someone in that day. The Romans designed it to be purposely cruel. The method was a cross. Jesus was betrayed by Judas, one of his disciples. Jesus was accused. Jesus was beaten. Jesus was hated. Jesus was falsely arrested. Jesus was subject to trial. Jesus was abandoned by his disciples. Jesus was tortured to death for us. Do you think he felt alone and abandoned? It didn't change him. Jesus pressed on and determined to follow the will of his Father no matter what. And in the end, listen to this. Listen to Jesus' words. Jesus said, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." This is Jesus asking his Father to forgive the very people that did all these horrible, terrible things to him. This is amazing. This is incredible that Jesus Christ would have this much love for others. Can we do the same? Can we forgive those that sinned against you? This is our call today, to forgive. As Ephesians 4 says, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, just as God in Christ forgave you." And Colossians 3 says, "Bearing with one another and forgiving one another, if anyone has a complaint against another, even as Jesus forgave you, so you must do." This is our call today, to love. As Colossians 3 says, "But above all, these things put on love, which is the bond of perfection." This is our call today, to love God and love others. As Matthew 22, 37, 30 through 39 says, "And he said to him, 'You shall love the Lord God with all your heart and with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment, and the second is like it: you shall love your neighbor as yourself.'" This is our call today, to love God with everything and love others. Luke 10 says, "And he answered, 'You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself.'" Father, we ask that you would have mercy on us, that we would forgive others as you have forgiven us. In your Son's name, amen.